The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, you're going to see on the bookshelves this autumn a really beautiful book, and I have it in my hands right now, The GAA Uncovered. It's by John Kelly, who has decided to tell the story of Gaelic games and of this country through match programmes. John, you're very welcome to the show. Tell us how you came up with the idea for this book.
Yeah, I suppose, Kieran, I've been collecting the programmes for ever since childhood, really, and the collection had built up a little bit. About 10 or 15 years ago then, the hobby became a little bit more serious and I started trying to fill the gaps back through the years. At a certain point, it becomes difficult to know what's available to collect or what's not available, what's still in existence or what was ever printed in the first place. So I began to wonder what would the ultimate collection of All-Ireland finals or provincial finals look like if one could compile them. And that's basically where the inspiration came from. There was also a wonderful book brought out by a guy called Andy Marsden, who's a Liverpool supporter. And he brought out a wonderful book of Liverpool football programmes since the war. And I kind of thought maybe somebody should do a kind of a GAA version of that. So those two ideas combined to bring about the idea.
And there'd be just a real curiosity, I think, from fans of Gaelic games looking back maybe in their own particular years, memories or years that stand out, or finals, provincial finals that stand out. Is your hope that when people go through it, though, that they learn something of the association and how it's changed? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I suppose you can kind of trace the evolution of the association through the programmes, Kieran. You can see, you know, the prices of the programmes, the quality of the programmes, the colour, etc., as they move through the years, and right up to the current day. Then there's a lot of changes over the years, and certainly you can see the change in the association through that.
I might ask you about a few specific ones because they are really interesting. So many of them, but a couple stood out. I might start here in the 1920s, what stands out to me, or what I really find interesting as well, because it tells you not just about the association but about society and everything, are the prominence of ads the front pages. We've got Woolworth's Cafe on Henry Street. If you want honesty, read Honesty every Wednesday. Yeah. What was Honesty? Did you ever find out?
No idea. I was solely based on the actual matches. So, what I would say about the ads is they're a remarkable source of social and local history. And I think a lot of the ads in the programmes were designed to aid travellers to the matches, that when they got there, they might find a place to eat or to stay or to
buy jewellery from the Jewel Casket, the ring shop from Munster on Oliver Plunkett Street in Cork. Yeah. That's 1938.
Yeah. And actually in one of the 1913 programmes, there's an advert for Irish volunteer uniforms where you could buy your bandoliers and your uniforms.
Brilliant.
Amazing stuff, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing I noticed in those early programmes, and it filters out over time, there doesn't seem to be a clear line in the sand, is the language. So the teams, I mentioned that year with, you know, if you want honesty, read Honesty, it's Dublin and Kerry. Yeah. If Dublin and Kerry were playing next year in the All-Ireland final, it would be Auchlea, Kerry.
Yeah.
Was there a point in time where that changed?
Yeah, I'd say I would imagine there was a certain rollover from the days when the English were in power around the 1920s or 1916, whatever, around those times, and that they would use the English version of the names. Then as the nationalism progressed, they began to use the Irish versions of the names, and you can see the old Irish font and print there as well on the covers of the programmes, and that eventually changed with the standardisation of the Irish language in the about the 1960s, I think.
Yeah, there's actually, let's talk about the 1960s. Is it 1960 or no? This is 1946. I wanted to ask you about, right? Because it's an amazing program. It's got Michael Cusick on the front. Now, Michael Cusick features a few years in the fronts of different programs. We might come back to that, because himself and Dr. Croke appear together one year. But this one, it has a sheaf of corn around Michael Cusick, and this is the All-Ireland finals in 1946? Yeah. And there's a specific reason there was a sheaf of corn there, and it's because those finals were delayed.
Yeah, there was I think there was an issue with the harvest in that year, and the finals were delayed until the harvest was actually brought in. Yeah, so it's a very interesting memory that can be evoked through looking at the cover of the programme.
Yeah, again, it's much like, as you said, the social history, the point you made earlier, you know, there's an element of it.
Yeah.
What was it? It's the you have it here even. The Ireland Final was delayed due to the Save the Harvest scheme after a poor summer. And there it was, kind of memorialised on the front page of the of the programme.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's amazing stuff. So then, Michael Cusick and Archbishop Croke, Dr. Croke, appear on the front pages. And this is the 1960s we're up to now. Again, they had kind of appeared intermittently at different points on different programmes down through the years. After this point, they kind of seem to disappear to a degree. Is there a reason that happens? Is this, again, a reflection of social history that, you know, maybe the church isn't the influence it once was with the Archbishop?
I would think there's an element of that in it, Kieran. I think it was mentioned a couple of times over the last week to me that the disappearance of the clergy from the front of the programmes might be just an evolution in the way Irish society was changing from time to time. Now, I suppose there was still an element of that in the 1960s, but after that you can see that it tends to go back to more the sporting figures on the cover rather than church figures or historic figures.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got in 1961, Galway played Roscommon in a Connacht football final, and it was Galway v Roscommon, and they played the following year, and well, it was Galway versus Roscommon, and I think that's the last, I went through, because I was going through it, I think that's the last time I could find. Now somebody might go through it in more detail and find a more up-to-date example, but that was the last example of the teams listed in English I could find. We get up to the 1960s, and I appreciate you put together this whole programme, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of match programmes, and I'm literally picking out a few off and throwing the matches, so I appreciate the sportsmanship. But is the 1960s, 1965, both the football and hurling finals, the programmes have coloured photos, action shots of the teams. Is that's the first time I could find that happening?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this, because of that, I think they're some of my favourite programmes, Kieran, are those 1960s programmes. They coincide with the appointment of a guy called Brendan McLuhan, who was a clareman. He was appointed to a kind of a clerical position in Croke Park, and he had a huge interest in improving the standard of the match programme. And I think he was appointed around 1964, and then the programmes from about 1965, 66, 67, there's a marked improvement in the programme quality from that stage on. But I love those. I love those covers. They're very, again, very evocative. Lovely colour on the cover.
Have you a favourite programme that stands out amongst them all?
Yeah, I do. I think my favourite one out of the whole lot, because I have it personally, is the 1947 All Ireland football final between Cavan and Kerry,
which
was played in the Polo Grounds in New York. The only All-Ireland final to be played outside of the country, and it's just a very special programme. It's completely different to the other programmes of the 1940s that you were just looking at there with Cusick on the front. And the one I have is a lovely embossed cover on it, and also a wonderful evocative musty smell from the inside that just smells of old, I suppose is what you could say, but it's you know, the fact that the programme survived the match, survived the trip back to Ireland, and now has survived almost 8 years, makes it just a beautiful programme in my mind. There's no colour in it, it's black and white, but it's a lovely programme.
It's beautiful, and I said to you before we started recording the interview as well that, you know, like lots of houses, we had piles and piles of programmes up on shelves, and there'd be kind of club match day programmes in the backseat of my car for weeks and months after I'd been to games.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they often get thrown out, so it's brilliant to see it all put together. And put together so beautifully, and the artwork is amazing, and it is a reflection not just of the association but of the society in which it evolved as well. So listen, congratulations again, John. Thanks a million for coming into us.
Thanks very much indeed, Kieran. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.